We're on the road. Where transportation goes, community grows. Welcome to On the Road with the MTA. And welcome to the first inaugural edition of On the Road with the MTA. I'm Jay Gibbons, alongside Stephanie Kay from the MTA.
So have a great day.
Have a great day. I like that. And also a special guest, a very special guest in the studio.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to introduce this man. He is not only a community leader, but he's a good friend of mine. And, you know, he's not going to speak for himself and tell you all the awards this man's won. Yeah. But I used to do morning radio shows. So you might recognize my voice. It was Mike and Stephanie in the morning. And during that radio show, I got a chance to meet some celebrities and some community leaders and some great friends. And he's all in one. And he has won so many awards for what he's done in this community. They go on and on. It's the Jack Hamady Good Scout Award. He has won the Flint Rotary Service Above Self Appreciation Award, which he always does. Salvation Army Jack Hamady Humanitarian Award. Valley Area Aging on Aging Agency Partner of the Year. And this goes on. This list is so long, it's like a Santa Claus list. But the thing that he's most proud of is he won the 2019 Outstanding Urban Transit System Award for MTA with his leadership. And he's proud of that because of the team here at MTA. And I'm so proud to introduce a man who spent 40 years of his life with MTA. Please help me give it a big warm welcome to Ed Benning, CEO of MTA. Well, listen to that, you. Ed. They love you.
That's quite an introduction.
It is so true. I mean, you meet a lot of people, but some just really stand out, and you are one of them.
Well, thank
and,
you.
You know, I said to you, if I ever lost my job, I want to work for you and what you do for the community. And here I am.
We took up on that.
You did. You did. Now it's Stephanie Kay from MTA. Now, 40 years in this business, you must have seen so many changes and innovation, and you had to renew yourself every time, and you had to fit the needs of the community. What's been your biggest change that you've seen along that way?
Well, you know, when I came here in the 80s, you know, on our bus routes, it was typical to have four or five tripper buses behind every route in the morning. We'd have such standing loads. And today, that's not the case. The population in the city has gone from 200,000 to about 100,000.
Wow.
But the people that are remaining have some really, really special needs. And the greatest change is the specialty of our services that address the aging population. People need to have medical transportation. They need on-demand service. And what I mean by on-demand, it's not like standing at the bus stop. It's you call, we respond. That's our future. That's our future. But we're very much involved in that right now. And I think that's the biggest change that I've noticed in the time I've been here. Another is our regional service where, you know, in 1997, we started reaching out, taking our employees, having our employees go to remote areas such as Livingston County, Oakland County, and other areas. That was unique. It was so funny. I remember the former general manager and I meeting with the dispatchers talking about taking buses out of the city.
Yeah.
And it was that whole thing about the earth's flat, you'll fall off the edge. And they said, we're really going to do this. And I said, oh, yes, we're going to do this. And people said, I don't know how we're going to, you know, have people 70 miles away.
Right.
And here we are some 23 years later. It's worked out, man. You know, splendid. We're one of the leaders in the country in that regard.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm so proud of with you. I've had a chance to do some presentations with you, and I've seen people come up to you and give a small problem like, the bus is going down my street and they shouldn't be here. He gets right on the phone and you fix it. And I've heard Washington call you and say, can you please come tell us your system and how you're making this work so well in Flint, Michigan? And you take off to Washington. You handle every problem or situation with as much importance as you would the most important thing. And I've seen you make people feel so important. And when I first met you, my father was diagnosed with cancer, and it was debilitating because I was on the air and I could not leave to take him to radiation. Yeah. And Charlene Kowalski, who has worked here for 21 years, told me about an ADA card. It was the American Disability Act card. And she said, with that, they will come to his house with a thing called Your Ride, pick him up and take him to radiation for $2.25. I was impressed. I was grateful. And I was overwhelmed with gratitude about how this could happen. And you made that happen. I mean, when Your Ride first started in 2016, there was 50 people riding, and now there's 4,500 a day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, I don't know how you do it. I mean, that people don't realize how important it is to get to the grocery store, to get to church. And you've made that happen. It's not just buses, but there's so much more. And you have Rides to Wellness. Tell us about that too. That's amazing.
Well, you know, the Rides to Wellness was one that we had talked about for a few years. And I recall I brought a group in to one of our conference rooms here. And about 25 people showed up, and I said, let's talk about what are the needs in the community? What are the unmet needs? And invariably, in the top three, you'd have medical,
yes,
transportation every time. And I said, we're going to fix this. We're going to figure out a way to fix this. And so we started developing some partners. And one of the first partners was the Valley Air Agent. And what was happening there is they were using the food delivery service to take people to medical appointments. Very costly, not too efficient, and it was a reality. And so we understood that we need to address that. And so we partnered with them in the beginning, mm-hmm, and we've been doing it ever since. And then right behind that came in the Department of Health and Human Services. And
all right,
they talked about this serious need for gap service. It was gaps in service unmet by other means. And we said, we'll step up, we'll do that service. And so there again, we started to grow. But in 2016, they came to us and said, we have people that need to go same day. They need to be able to call you and go same day.
Sure.
And, of course, the staff had, you know,
heart attack.
They were ready to have a heart attack.
You know? We can't do
I
that.
Said, we'll do that. And I said, we'll do it within 30 minutes. And so they said, okay, let's give it a roll. So
wow,
we did. And we started out in September 2016. We had 160 passengers, which was kind of getting going. And,
sure,
you know, now we're looking at 13,000 passengers a month. By
wow,
the end of the year, we'll be around 20,000 a month and growing from there. And
my
so
goodness,
the numbers will be staggering, but the needs are so much in the community. But the beauty of it is our Your Ride service works great, and it meets a need. You know, you reserve a day in advance or a mm-hmm week in advance. But when you get up in the morning and you need to go to the doctor, what happens? People make an appointment, and then they don't show up.
Right, and they get charged for that sometimes.
Yes, and the reason being is that, you know, they'll make that appointment because they do need to go. And when they're unable to get someone to take them, what happens is after a period of time, they end up in an ambulance. They end up going to the emergency room.
So much more expensive.
You know, so much more expensive. And
yes,
that was a reality in our community. And I think we've really filled that gap. And people are so appreciative, not only those that use it, but all the people that are connected to them, the family members,
yes,
and others that recognize that they may have to take the day off work to take mom or dad,
yeah,
or mm-hmm a spouse or a neighbor to the doctor. But
that costs money.
When they can, you know, use this kind of service. And we've been doing it for some time now. So, you know, we've been at it now going on 6 years. And so we don't think much about it. But when people become aware of it, just like we recently experienced at one of the morning radio shows in the community here, we were at Fox and
yeah,
telling
Johnny Burke,
and he said, they have nothing like this for my parents.
No.
And we hear that. And when we're talking around the country about this type of service, people really don't understand that public transit can do this.
And so much data.
And it, you know, and it can be done at a much lower cost in a more efficient manner. When you consider today that it will cost you $160 to $260 up to $500 for an ambulance one way.
Wow.
And then you have individuals that have to pay the copay on that.
Sure.
And so we provide that at a much lower cost, much more efficient. And by the way, if you want to go get your prescription on the way home, we'll take you.
And the grocery store. It's amazing.
So, that is.
I know. And how often have any of us been in the hospital, or someone else we know and love has been in the hospital, when you're released? Sometimes you can't get your child to get off work to give you a ride home. Now, Rides to Wellness will take you home from the hospital as well, right? Isn't that a case?
Absolutely.
With yep, Hurley and McLaren and
yeah,
Genesis?
We actually have a contract with the local hospitals to do that. And what was happening in the past, people would get out and they would have maybe a taxi or someone providing that.
Mm-hmm.
And these individuals might be parked across the parking lot. And those cost were $70 to $100.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know,
it's
the
crazy
people,
yeah,
to get a ride home, often they paid the tab. And so we've partnered with the hospitals. We now provide that. And we have a contract for all services with McLaren now. That's the entire McLaren, you know, corporation here in our community.
Right.
And it's working really well.
And it's like $15 opposed to maybe a $75 bill that you might have. Absolutely. And a lot of times that's paid for as well with a lot of agencies.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing what you're doing. Now, people see the buses and they think, it's just a bus. Well, the buses, like you had said, are taking people $10,000 a week to work to make money to come back to Genesee County. You said the Great Lakes Crossing almost did not happen because they couldn't find any employees there. And you made it happen to get a bus from Genesee County to Great Lakes Crossing and have people bring back $180 million back to the Genesee County area with the Great Lakes Crossing, with Livingston. There was a big manufacturing plant. And they were talking about moving out of state to get workers. And Ed said, no, let's make a bus work over there as well. Mm-hmm. And there's other places that's $10,000 a week. That's a lot of people you're taking back and forth to. When you see these buses, it's just not somebody who can't afford a car. A lot of times they're going to work to make money for their family, to feed their family. And you made that happen. You should be very proud of yourself for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You know, we originally started out with a state grant. It was called a demonstration grant. And the demonstration was for 3 years. And so the first year was 100% funded. Then each year it would go down. And at the end of that three-year period, it was very clear to us that the need was extremely strong. But at that time, we also had a program called Welfare to Work.
Oh.
Welfare to Work was a requirement for you to receive welfare. You had to go to work. And so here we had employers scattered all over southeastern Michigan that needed workers and did not have people. And we had the individuals, so we were able to utilize that to further grow that program. But I recall going into the Brighton area and meeting with businesses. I remember one particular a meeting where we had 30 people at a table, a conference table. It's a pretty big conference table.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know, what can you do? You know, what can you do to deal with this? And so we were able to start service. Well, we had a request in the Brighton area with the, in the Howell area, with the Howell Chamber.
All right.
And so they asked us to come in for a meeting. We went into the meeting and they said, we must have people. And I said, that was on a Friday. I said, a week from this upcoming Monday, we'll start service. And I remember the head of the chamber said to me, that's interesting. That's what she said. And I said, we'll be here. And we have. We've been there ever since. And now serve several businesses in that community and growing. And so
I see the MTA buses all the time.
I know. Right? They're everywhere. I know.
Hometown.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, but, you know, and people are accessing jobs that we're not trying, we don't make a decision where you work, but these are jobs that have benefits. They're paying well.
Yes.
And individuals have upward mobility. And with that, they make a choice where they want to work. There was a time when people would say, you know, we need the people right here. Why are you taking them out of town?
Right.
And I said, it's kind of like grocery stores. I don't decide where you shop or when you shop, but we need to make sure you can get there to shop.
Yeah, good
same
point.
Same as with jobs, you know. People, if the jobs are here and they can have that type of employment with benefits, full-time jobs,
sure,
you know, they're going to stay here. I recall one time I was asked to serve on a panel, and it was about 50 people on the panel, so it's a big panel, and we were talking about infant mortality. And what I found is that there's many people working with having a child at home, and they're working two and three jobs.
Oh,
and so
I can imagine.
For them to find someone in the middle of the night to serve as a child care was very difficult. And so it was an eye-opener for me. And when you hear about some of the stories and what would happen, it makes you understand when you have transportation, it must serve all those needs. So we would take mom or dad to the child care center, and then from the child care center to the bus, and then from the bus to the next bus. We made sure there was all that hand holding going on. So it was a great experience.
I never knew that. I didn't. I've learned so much working for MTA. I didn't know that. So the bus itself, or would that be a your ride that would do that?
That was your ride.
And
so we would make those connections. But, you know, that's really what service is about. It's not saying it's either, you know, it's black or white. It has to be
meeting
many
needs.
Flavors, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just vanilla. You have to make sure it meets people's needs. And when it does, then you have a great outcome.
My gosh. I mean, people don't realize what a gem MTA is. Until you need that transportation, you don't appreciate it. It's like a little insurance policy because you never know when you might need it.
Oh, yeah.
Or your family. Like my mother right now is 91, and I'm trying to help take her. She still drives, thank goodness. But if there's a time that she cannot do that, I'm going to be so grateful no MTA can get her to the doctor where she needs to go. And something else interesting I learned from MTA is that 10,000 people every day are turning 65 years old, and that's going to happen for the next 17 to 20 years. So they're aging in place. And as you get older, you have more medical problems, you have more disabilities, and you might not be able to get to where you need to go. And we also found out that seniors, sometimes they're eating out of a gas station or a drugstore, and they're eating candy bars, and they're eating donuts because they cannot get to a grocery store because something called a food desert. And I learned that from you as well, Ed, like when the Pearson Road Meijer shut down, all those homes, there was nowhere for them to get groceries. And you have rides to groceries. There's a van that has little carts in there that will take you to the grocery store. And they'll take you downtown Flint to get the fresh fruits and vegetables at the farmer's market. And while you're down there, you might see the trolleys. Those are all free thanks to MTA. You make those free as well, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. That's,
what else haven't you just, okay, so he's like a magician. He's going to roll sleeves up and pull rabbits out or something.
You know, in 2015, I recall it was March of 2015, and the local Kroger store decided to close.
Yes.
They're Franklin Davison Road. And so the announcement that they put out was they were closing, and it was about a week later. And so I grew up over in that area, and so I understood the impact on people. And within 3 days, Meijer's announced they were closing.
Oh my goodness!
And so we said we need to deal with this. And so a group of us came together. I got operations staff, and I said we have to find a way to get people the groceries. And so that was an interesting experience right from the get-go. But we were able to come up with buses in the beginning and announce it. We were doing a number of things. We had staff out riding to tell people how to use it and what to do and. We'd link it to stores in the community. Then we really thought about it. You know, someone's taking their ice cream home or the meat home or whatever it may be.
Right.
And so you need something that's door to door. And so we then developed the vehicles you're talking about with a rack inside to make it a better experience. But one of the things we learned that was, it's really an eye opener, is that not only were people going to the corner gas station and drugstore to get their groceries, we had a case in particular where it was reported that individual was actually eating dog food.
Oh my goodness.
You know, that doesn't tug on your heart. And so we pulled it together very quickly. And the funny thing about it is that I was interviewed by about six public radio stations across the country. They all asked the same questions. Number one, why are you doing it? You know, who forced you to do this?
who's paying for it? Yeah, who's paying for this?
And I said, you know, when we started, we never worried about who's paying for it. But people have stepped up. They have given us money those ways. But we just thought we're gonna take care of this and make it happen. And then the New Yorker magazine came in and did a documentary. It came on early on. We were just getting started. But it was great. They did our driver... Good. Our driver, I think he should get an Academy Award. He was that good. But people understood what we're trying to do. And, you know, it's a great outcome. But it's really about, it's all about people. That's
right.
Ever since I've been in this business, it's one thing. It's focus on the people because they're the ones that need it. And when you don't have that focus, then you're not serving them.
No, and I know that you really respect the drivers. You said the frontline drivers are your backbone here at MTA.
Absolutely.
And I've had a chance to have lunch with a lot of the drivers, and they're so rewarded when they can take a veteran to the hospital or they can help them with their groceries to get into their house. And it's just rewarding for them to be able to help. And they were even here throughout the COVID. They didn't give up. They just kept working and helping people get to church and the grocery store and to the pharmacy and to the doctor. You can be just so proud of the team that you have here. And I've seen you and I've heard about this too. I haven't told you this, but... A lot of the workers here or the employees of any kind, no matter what they are, management or drivers, no matter what, they have said you always treat them so perfectly. You treat them with importance. You treat them with respect. And the one said you sat out in the driveway and talked to him for about 20 minutes. And he said, I'm a nobody. He just sat there and talked to me. So that's why we are so successful is because our leader treats everyone equally. And that's important. You don't always see that in a lot of businesses, especially big businesses like this. And I know you do care about people. And so I appreciate that. And the veterans, I think they are our heroes. And I think that one day a week or one day a year, Veterans Day is not enough for what they've done for us.
I agree.
And you feel the same way. And the veterans program has grown tremendously. When I first started, they were getting four free rides a month. And now it's up to six for each one of them?
Yes.
And that'll take them to even the veterans hospital and you'll wait with them. And on the way home, you'll stop at the grocery store and to the pharmacy to get them home.
Absolutely.
That is tremendous. And that's free, six free. For
it's
each veteran.
For.
And their spouses also get six.
Absolutely.
Even if they're a widow.
Yes.
See, that to me is commendable. I can't thank you enough for that. Yeah. I'm going to give you a big round of applause for that one. Absolutely.
Well, if they need to go to Ann Arbor, Saginaw, Detroit, that service is in place, and we wait for them. And so in the past, their experience was that's a 12 to 15 hour day.
Yes.
And who wants that? If you need to go get your medical, it's bad enough that you're going through some procedures, and we all know what that's like, but to have to worry about how to get there. I had a neighbor that had leukemia, and he was going to Saginaw Hospital, and so he shared with me he was paying someone $70 each way.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he didn't have that kind of money.
No, nobody does.
And I knew a couple of times that someone canceled, and as I become aware of it, I said, we're going to fix this for you. But it just opened my eyes to what people go through, because he didn't drive, he didn't have a license. And, there's many cases like that out there today. And so, as you mentioned, it's a great service. We do it in cooperation with the Genesee County Veterans. And it's one that we're getting some national attention because, as they've told me in Washington, if anyone can figure out how to do it, Flint will.
It's Ed Benning in Flint, that's for sure. Well, a lot of people hear these stories or heart-wrenching stories, and they want to help, but they can't. You actually make it happen. I've seen you make things happen I never thought could happen. Like they said, when you said, well, people have families, we need to put car seats in all these cars. They're like, well, we can't do that. Like, yes, we can. And now there's car seats there to help people, aren't there?
Yeah, that was funny. I recall when staff said, we need to talk to you. We said, Department of Health and Human Services is requesting that we have car seats for the babies. And I said, go buy them.
Wow.
And they said, oh, you're really going to do that? I said, no, you are. The drivers are. And I want the best car seats you can get. And I'll make sure they're cleaned every day, every week. And I'll make sure that when people go, they feel very comfortable. And every car has one, or we have one for
available.
Every car available. And they're used extensively. And so it's worked out. But when we looked at the numbers, we had as many as 1,000 babies a month, right?
Really? 1,000. Wow. Well, I know that you have the opportunity to retire, and you could have been in Florida right now with your beautiful wife having a great time, but instead you stuck with it, and then COVID hit. Yeah. And I know you're thinking, why didn't I retire? But you handled it so well.
You
could have just like thrown your hands up and said, I just can't do this. But you made sure there was a plastic binding between the front and the back seat of the drivers, and that all the drivers have their temperature taken before they can get in the car, and they're wearing masks. And the people that are passengers are asked to wear a mask, and if they don't have one, you provide one for them. And even during that time, I don't think people realize this, you weren't even charging because you want to make sure people got to where they needed to go. You didn't want them to have to exchange money. And you were so conscientious of their health and of their wellness. So I really commend you for that. And you didn't tell anybody about that. And even the bus drivers were driving, and that was free. They would come in the back door, and they didn't have to pay for that as well. And now you've even reduced those rates from now until the first of the year. And you've made everybody's ride free on Sundays. Anybody and everybody can ride for free on Sunday until now to the first of the year. Is that still taking place?
That's still taking place.
How can you afford that? That's just amazing to me.
Well, the community's been so good to us. And right now they're under a lot of stress. We all are.
Yes.
And we're hoping to get back to what they keep calling new normal, but normal.
So
we're thinking it's our way to really thank the community and make sure that they are able to go out, go to church, go
so important.
Shopping, go to work, or just take the family out and use the services. So each week the numbers are increasing. And, we really think that's great because we have such a support here in the community. And someone may not be using the service simply because they can't afford it.
Right.
Even though the rates are very low, you talk to people that are living on just the bare minimum. And I've had people tell me, I have to make a decision between paying my bus fare or eating.
Oh, my gosh.
And when you hear that, it's like, here's your pass.
Yeah, I know. I know you're so generous that way.
It's that pass is insignificant compared to
absolutely needs. Well, I know you knew how important it was to get to church or to get to the grocery store or to see your loved ones, especially after all this. So that's why the rides are free on Sunday, and you can call your ride, or even the buses are free. And make sure you call your ride by Friday to make sure you get on by Sunday. Yes. So. Yeah, don't go without. Just do not go without. It's there for you. We're there for you. And if you have somebody else that might need the services, please pass the word on to them because it's there for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so proud of it. I'm proud to work for somebody that cares about the community. It makes a difference. So
well, thank you. And you've been a great addition.
Thank you.
Your enthusiasm and your knowledge now of the service and getting the word out.
It's
so important. And often when people say, we had no idea you were doing all those things.
Yes.
I'm thinking, okay, how can we what else can we do to get the word out? And, you know, when the COVID hit, I have to say, in my years of being transit and running automotive plants and many things I've done, you know, it was a new experience for all of us, right?
Yes.
And I recall sitting at home on the phone running the business, and it occurred to me we had all these cars that basically you're about 3 feet from the driver in front of you sitting in the car. Mm-hmm. It's about 3 foot in there. And we had to figure out a way, well, let's get a barrier so that we can run, you know, with a very safe barrier. And
sure.
Our people were able to do that. And I commend our maintenance department, our procurement, what they've been able to do to make sure all the vehicles are safe. I was in one yesterday riding to
look at
tiny homes.
Oh, yeah. The buses were very comfortable.
In the Detroit area. And I looked at one of the barriers that they put in the bus for the driver. And
I saw that too.
I, you know, just can't say enough about our people and how they responded. Because we're talking 400 vehicles.
That's a lot, chore. Yes. And people were fearful. They didn't know if they were going to catch COVID. They absolutely. Didn't want to be in the cars, but they said, no, these people don't have a ride to get to the doctor. I'm going to do it.
Absolutely.
Great, great employees, great team. I'm just so proud of all of them. And right now, when everybody else is laying off or you can't work, MTA is hiring. They need drivers all the time, don't they?
Absolutely.
And I know you'd love to hire veterans. They're the greatest workers. And the seniors, they're also very dependable. And anybody who might be looking for a job, then go to mtaflint.org and see the job openings there and a lot of other information as well. So you're still hiring even drivers and others,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. We're looking for drivers right now. It's very safe.
Yeah.
You know, the way we've... the protocols we've set up, it's very mm-hmm. safe for the driver, very safe for the passengers, and it's a great job. And many of the drivers that come in and drive in our Rides to Wellness tell me, even for veterans, that it's really not about the money, although I think the money is very reasonable.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And they say, I really want to help the community. I want to help my neighbor. And so we encourage people to come, seniors, veterans. We'll even take you know, college students that are...
sure.
They're looking for some additional money and want to drive. It's you know, just a car.
Well, so. I love the fact that, yeah, it is a car. You don't have to worry about just the buses or even the bigger buses or smaller mini buses. The car is very comfortable,
absolutely.
SUVs and cars.
Absolutely.
And I know you've even hired disabled. I've seen a lot of people in the wheelchairs that are answering the phones. And just recently, who we're going to be speaking to next week, you don't want to miss this, Ashley Seymour is a young girl who is just amazing. She was born as a twin, and she was born totally blind. I know politically correct is to say visibly impaired, but she said, no, I am totally blind, and you can say that. Mm-hmm. And she was born with... she had seizures and she had a lot of difficulties and her twin was perfectly fine. So she's had a lot of obstacles that she's tried to oversee and she's very inspirational. You'll want to hear her next week for sure because she went through depression and she even went through some attempted suicide attempts, which were, thank goodness, not successful. And she's going to talk about that openly and going to tell you how you can get help too if you're facing any of these issues. But what I'm so proud about this is MTA's hired her to work. And I know, Ed, you had to do a little research. And you had to do a little investment in order to buy the equipment to make her be able to work here.
Sure.
And you've changed her life. She went from a dark place to a shining light. And MTA did that for her. And I want to thank you for that. And I don't want you to miss that next week because maybe you can come in and see her as well.
I'll look forward to it.
Yes.
You know, and thank you for introducing us to Ashley.
Absolutely.
You know, and make us aware. We've had great experiences with persons that happen to have disabilities. But, you know, in our workforce today, people don't think of themselves as having a disability.
Sure.
But we have a high number of people that have disabilities. They're just not acutely aware of it. And but for those that are visually impaired, blind, or other disabilities, we have found that they have been, in my opinion, a godsend to us. I recall one time I had another young lady that... happened to be blind, and we brought her into the customer service department. We were then in Grand Blanc, and I recall that the staff individually would say things to me after we had hired her. Christine, they would say, you think she's going to be okay? And I said, oh, I think so. Just be fine. And she became the best customer service rep we had, and she somehow realized that I didn't have someone to type for me. And she said, do you need some typing done? She said, I'm not that good, but I could help you, and I'd love to. And she said, I do 70 words a minute. I said,
goodness.
That qualifies.
That qualifies.
And so she would do my typing. And so it was amazing. Wow. We had equipment, you know, and she would take it on the equipment, and then she'd have it all prepared for me. And I recalled she got married, and one day she came in,
oh,
she said, I'm going to move to Colorado. And I so hated to see her go. She was amazing. But I had another individual, and he's back to work for us now. He happens to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I recall one time pulling in here with 10 inches of snow, and there was one set of tire tracks here. There was nobody in the building.
Oh, my gosh.
I was coming in, and when I pulled in here, the set of tracks, I looked around the corner. Here's his van. He was on the phones already.
Oh, my
heavens.
He's
in a wheelchair. And I said, you know, that just shows you the kind of commitment, you know.
Absolutely.
So I hope to add many others.
Oh, so. And you do too. That's what I love about that. So if you're looking for a job and, you know, disabilities might not be a wheelchair, even blind, somebody have like autism or there's other, and you've hired so many people like that.
Absolutely.
And I just can't tell you how, what a difference you make. I think if you took your jacket off, you might see some little angel wings under there. There is a place in heaven with your name
okay.
on it.
Thank you.
Why don't we have to wrap it up, don't we, Jay? We've had a, I know, this has been fun.
We have
fun.
A nice conversation. It's great.
We certainly have. But thank you so much, Ed, for taking your valuable time to come here and speak to us.
Yes.
And there's so much more they do. I want to talk about the buses and how that's clean air right now, but we'll get to that next time you come.
Okay.
So you have to come back, okay?
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to On the Road with the MTA. For more information on our services and community outreach, visit us online anytime at www.mtaflint.org and be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The MTA, your community, your connection, your way.